Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, God bless you. This is Evangelist Amos coming to you live from Manateechu Ministry. Praise the Lord. Tonight we're going to be talking to you about the power of the spoken word. And my pastor preached a message tonight, and I'm telling you, it was so anointed. The Lord just started speaking to me. And when he speaks to me, I have to go right and preach what he said. I thank God for this avenue that I can go right in and preach a message while it's still fresh on my heart. So I praise God for that. But I just want to have a word of prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I give you glory and I give you praise. I ask you, Father, to bless the word on tonight, Lord. Deliver, let it be delivered in the power and the anointing of the Spirit in Jesus' name, that it will fall on good ground and that the people will be blessed, Lord. In Jesus' name, we give you glory and praise. Amen. God bless you, saints. We're going to come out of Matthew 4 and 4, which is also a scripture that we talked about tonight in the service. But Matthew 4 and 4, the Bible says, we're going to start in verse 1 because it's talking about the temptation of Jesus. The Bible said Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. When the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, talking about Jesus, said, "It is written." That's what we're going to talk about tonight, the word of God, the power behind the spoken word. Jesus said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And I'm telling you, when we went over that tonight in Bible study, the Lord just began to speak to me. Praise the Lord. In verse 3, the Bible says that the tempter came to him and said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." In other words, since you are the Son of God, you should be able to command that these stones be made into bread. I'm telling you the power of the word of God that's in our mouth. He said, because if you were the Son of God, you would know the power of the spoken word, that you have the ability to command that these stones be made into bread. But look what Jesus said. He responded, "It is written." Again, the word of God, "It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So the word of God is the same as the mouth of God. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen. The Bible says one thing we will learn, well, God told me one thing that we will learn tonight is that the word of God is the same as saying the mouth of God. And if we have a mouth, we are made in God's image, and our mouth is supposed to speak the word of God, supposed to speak the same thing that God speaks, we are to speak. So that's what I want to teach you tonight about the mouth of God or the word of God. The Bible says the word of God proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, I want you to know the spiritual spoke. In the beginning, we know that God is a spirit, and God spoke, and he said, "Let there be," and there was. So we went from a spiritual manifestation, from a spiritual force, God, into a natural state, man. The spirit spoke, God spoke and said, "Let there be." And God spoke man, and God made man out in his image. The Bible says, but I want you to focus on the fact that the spirit was first, not the natural was first, but the spirit was first. And Paul says the same thing. The spirit was first, not the natural man. The other part says, and back in Matthew 4 and 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So we see that the mouth of God gives us life. As his breath breathed life into Adam's nostrils, so his mouth continues to give us life by every word that comes out of it. That is why God can speak into your situation or your circumstance, and it will turn from a situation of death to a situation of life in a moment of time. Now notice, this was the temptation of Jesus. That means every trial or temptation in life can be handled by the word or the mouth of God in the same manner. Now I don't want that to go over your head, because remember, this is talking about the temptation of Jesus. When you have trials and you have temptations, Jesus gave us an example to go to the word of God, amen, to in every situation when we're tempted, when we are put into a trial or into a situation where we are tempted to sin, the Bible says that that can be handled in the same way that Jesus handled his temptation, by the word of God. Matthew 4:4 teaches us that all of our problems can be solved by the living word of God or the mouth of God. Now, I want to take you back to Genesis chapter 3, because the Bible says, and back in Genesis chapter 3 and 1, in the beginning it says, and you can find this in Genesis 3 and 1, yea, have God said. Now, this is the devil speaking, and what he does is he speaks, and I want you to notice that the emphasis here is on speak tonight. All of our words, everything we say, I want you to tie it into the message. The Bible said that the devil said, yea, have God said. That's the devil speaking to twist the word of God. And let's go back into Genesis chapter 3, because there's some verses I want to read there. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. So here he was twisting the word, verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit. Now this is Eve speaking back. Remember her words she spoke to the devil. She said, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, God has said. There we go again. God has said. God spoke. Amen. God said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said, there we go again, the serpent spoke and said, ye shall not surely die. Now, I want to focus on the fact that Eve, the sin here was not that Eve ate so much from the tree, but the sin is that Eve chose to believe what the devil said over what God said. I want you to see that, because even before she ate from the fruit of the tree, of the knowledge of good and evil, she chose to believe what the devil said over what God said. That was the original sin. Because the devil said, you shall not surely die. So she chose to believe that. And what you believe can change your outcome in a situation. Praise the Lord. Let's go over to Genesis chapter 11, verse 1. We're still talking about the power of the spoken word. And the Bible says in Genesis 11 and 1, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. Now, this is very important, because I want to teach you something here in Genesis 11. The Bible says the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, or come, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said in verse 4, and this is one of our key verses, 11 and 4, go to, or come, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. The same thing man is trying to do today when we go to the moon and we go to, you know, we want to look into the heavenlies. They said, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. Now, I want you to look at the next two verses. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men built. And the Lord said in verse 6, behold, the people is one, and have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, and or come, let us go down, and there confound their language. They may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off from building the city. Therefore, the name of that place is called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from there did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of the earth. Now, let's talk about this for a minute, because in Genesis 11, it talks about the power in coming together and speaking the same thing. The Bible says that in verse 1, there was one language and one speech. That's very important to remember. The next verse I want you to look at is verse 4. they said, or they spoke out of their mouth, the words that came out of their mouth, and they said, come, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, that we may, number one, make a name for ourselves, that we won't be scattered abroad. The same thing that they said they did not want, because it was not in the will of God, God scattered them. The results of being of, but I want you to focus on the results of being of one speech and what God said about there being one speech, and the power that's in unity of speech is displayed in verse 6. The Lord said in verse 6, behold, the people is one. That means they are united. They have come together as one, and they have one language. This they began to do, one speech or one language. And God said, when you come together as one and you speak in the same thing and you saying the same thing and you want to do, you have the same goals and the same desires and the same end result, that's what I'm trying to say, the end result thing is all is the same thing, but you're all speaking the same thing, you're all working together in unity. The Bible says, this they began to do. And nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. That's the key word here, imagine to do. Whatever you imagine, that's in your thought processes. Your thoughts are in your soulless realm. Your thoughts are in the spiritual realm. And the same way God spoke from the spirit and brought it into natural manifestation, it's the same way that we can take from our imaginations in our thought realm, in our soulless realm, which is in the spiritual realm, and bring it into manifestation in the natural, because we are made in the image of God. The same way God works is the same way we work. Do you see the connection between language speech and words and what you can actually begin to do? God said nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Now we are getting into our thought processes and how we can not just say what we say, but what we think is important to God. We are made in the image of God. We function the same way God functions. Did you think when he said he made us in his image, and this is what the Lord told me tonight to share with you, did you think when he said he made us in his image that it was only the outward man that is made in the image of God? No, it's our mind as well. God is a spirit. His word, the Bible says, he is a spirit, amen, and his word is spirit and truth. Our thoughts are spirit. Our thoughts in our mind connects us to the spiritual realm. Just as God imagined it and it came into being, we can imagine it as well and manifest our thoughts from the spiritual realm into the earthly realm. That is proven in verse 6 because God said nothing that they imagine can or will be restrained or held back from them. Why? Because they said, let us, and came up with a plan to make it happen. The Bible says they began to work or build. All we have to do is take the first step in that direction of our thoughts, and everything else will start to work to make it happen because we are made in his image, saints. Look at verse 6. The people are one. They are working together toward a common goal. They have one language or one speech. This they began to do. That is why they could not be stopped. And you will be unstoppable when you begin to use these same principles. Let's look at this word, language of speech, in verse 6. In the Hebrew, it is saphah, S-A-P-H-A-H. And that's the word for language in the Hebrew. It comes from the meaning of, the same meaning of termination. Okay? It has been translated in the Bible to mean edge, boundary, border, or lip. So in other words, your language determines your boundaries in life. What you say sets the bounds for how far you will go in life. Your language, I want you to remember that, your language determines your boundaries in life. What you say sets the border or sets the boundary. That's what this word means. What you say sets the bounds for how far you will go. You set your own borders. You set your own shores. You set your own edges. And you set your own size for your life, depending on what you say out of your lips or mouth. Here we see the people had one speech or language, so therefore they could do whatever they set their minds to do because there was no limitation. God had to slow them down, not stop them, but slow them down because we know that man has already went to the moon and come back. Now, but back then it was not meant to be. So he confused their speech so they would split up and delay the inevitable. Now, let's talk about prayer and the importance of speaking out in prayer. And this is something my pastor had us to do tonight, to walk around and just speak out of our mouths what we wanted God to do for us, because it's important to release it into the atmosphere. And when you release it through your mouth, you take it. This is what God told me when we was doing this tonight, before we even did that, and it was a confirmation when he had us to do that, because it was whatever is in your mind, in the spiritual realm, in your mind, you speak it out of your mouth, it's going to manifest it in the earth realm. That's why it's important to speak out of your mouth things that you desire or want to happen, and not to say that it works the same way, just the opposite. If you speak things that are not going to benefit you, those things can be limitations, or you put your own limitations on yourself. So we pray or speak what we want in the name of Jesus. And Jesus, remember, is the Word of God, the mouth of God. Jesus is the Word of God. After we speak out of the imaginations of our heart, we seal it with the Word of God or the name of Jesus. It works the same way when we put limitations on ourselves. Let's go over to Job 15 and 1. And the Bible says in Job 15 and 1, okay, just give me 1 second. I have to pull it up here. The Bible says in Job 15 and 1, "Then answered Eliphaz the Temanite and said, should a wise man utter vain knowledge?" That's talking about how you can utter things and say things that are vanity and fill his belly. And Ecclesiastes talks a lot about vain words or vanity. But the Bible says here, "Should a wise man utter vain knowledge and fill his belly with the east wind? Should he reason with unprofitable talk, or with speeches wherewith he can do no good?" Your words are supposed to profit you. Your words are supposed to produce good fruit. The Bible says, "Make the tree good, or make it and its fruit good, or make the tree evil and its fruit evil." Talking about the words that come out of our mouth, the fruit of our lives is our words. "Shall he reason with unprofitable talk, or with speeches wherewith he can do no good? Yea, thou castest off fear and restrainest prayer before God." It's very important when you pray that your words line up with the Word of God. "For thy mouth," the Bible says in verse 5, "uttereth thine iniquity, and thou choosest the tongue of the crafty." So your mouth can utter iniquity. And we're going to talk about that in a minute when we talk about sinning against the Holy Ghost. But in verse 6, the Bible says, "Thine own mouth condemns you, and not I, yea, thine own lips testify against you." So here in Job, we see Eliphaz, his friend, was telling him, your own mouth is condemning you, and your own lips testify against you. The same thing we were just saying. And then he goes on in verse 7, "Art thou the first man that was born?" But the main point I want to point out was in verse 6, where he says, "Thy own mouth words condemn thee." Let's go back to verse 3. "Shall he reason with unprofitable talk, or with speeches wherewith he can do no good?" Talking about our words again. "Yea, thou castest out fear and restrainest prayer before God." What restrains you in prayer is the words of your mouth. Verse 5, "For your mouth uttereth thine iniquity, and thou choosest the tongue of the crafty. Thine own mouth condemneth thee, and yea, thine own lips testify against thee." Verse 13, "That thou turnest thy spirit against God, and lettest such words go out of your mouth." So here again we see in prayer, our words are supposed to bring glory. Our words are supposed to edify. Our words are supposed to build up, not tear down. "Lettest such words go out of your mouth," he said. Over in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, the Bible talks about in verse 1 through 7. Let's read that real quick. The Bible says, "Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools." Talking about the speak what you say again. "For they consider not that they do evil." You can do evil with the words of your mouth, saints. The Bible says, "Be not rash with thy mouth, or quick speaking, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be few." This is very important, because in your words, you're going to have to give account of everything you say one day. That's why the Bible teaches us to let our words be few. For a dream, this is still in Ecclesiastes 5, the Bible says, for a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. So here again, we see where God doesn't want us to always be talking, but it says be ready to hear or to listen. You know, we know that old saying, you gave you two ears and one mouth so you can listen twice as much as you talk. When you vow a vow, this is still Ecclesiastes chapter 5, when you vow a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. Still talking about your words. When you vow a vow with your mouth, defer not to pay it. Not just talking about money. Anything you say, your words should be your bond. Anything you say as a man or woman of God, you should stick to it and make sure that you perform that thing. Defer not to pay it, he said, for he have no pleasure in fools. God compares you to a fool when you speak foolishly or you have a multitude of words and you say stuff that you have no intention of backing up. When you vow a vow, the Bible says, defer not to pay it. For he have no pleasure, the Bible says, in the fool, in a fool's words. A fool's voice is known by the multitude of words, the Bible says. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. So here again we see that your mouth can cause you to get into a world of trouble. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice or at thy words and destroy the works of thine hands? So here we see again in Ecclesiastes the wisdom of God coming through Solomon. Amen. Let's go over to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 12. My pastor touched on this tonight, Matthew chapter 12, verse 31 through 37. The unpardonable sin. The unpardonable sin, saints, is the sin of speaking against the Holy Ghost. So that's something else that we want to talk about. We're going to start in verse 31 and go through 37. And right here it says, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh, here we go again, what the words that come out of your mouth, whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world nor in the world to come. So you can damn your own soul to hell. You can, because God said you will not be forgiven if you speak against the Holy Spirit. And that's not an easy thing to do, because the Holy Spirit is the one that draws you to God. Amen. So you have to really be reprobate in your mind to even speak. People think, oh, you can sin and you know, just say something out of your mouth. No. When he says speak against the Holy Ghost, that means the one that's drawing you to God, you are resisting him and you're going in your own way. If you resist the Holy Ghost, there is no way for you to be saved. That's what it's saying in so many words. If you speak against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven you, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Even make the tree good, and I quoted this a few minutes ago, even make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit or his words. And then he said, O generation of vipers, and this is one scripture we talked about tonight. My pastor preached on it. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Remember I told you your thoughts and all of that comes from the spiritual realm. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, and this is very important, verse 36 in Matthew 12, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, amen, you can sin with your mouth. The Bible says every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account of in the day of judgment. For in verse 37, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Amen. On the day of judgment, we're going to have to answer for every idle word that we speak. That's why the Bible said, let your words be few. And I'm going to talk to the women a little bit in 1 Peter 3 and 4. Look at what God says is of great price. The Bible says, but let it be, talking about the outer adornment. If you read 1 Peter chapter 3, it talks about the outer adornment, you know, and about the braided hair and all of that. But it says, let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. If you're quiet in your spirit, you won't be doing a lot of talking unnecessarily and not using wisdom. So the Bible says that a meek and a quiet spirit, and that goes for men and for women, because we have to look at what we say. That's in the sight of God of great price. And then we're going to turn over to Psalms chapter 19, verse 14. If you will, turn over to Psalms chapter 19, verse 14. And the Bible says, and we're going to start in verse 13. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins, talking about sins of the heart, amen. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. And then verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So here again we see the words of our mouth have to be acceptable. That's what we should be looking for to God. Let the words of my mouth, Lord, and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Amen. So I hope you learned something tonight, amen, about the power of your words, how you are made in the image of God. You are beautifully and wonderfully made. We talked about that last week. And the same way that God spoke and he said, let there be, and it came and happened from the spiritual realm to the natural, we can accomplish the same thing in our lives. We can have what we say, amen, as long as we remember, let our words be few, and to line our words up with the word of God, and to speak only what God would have us to say, and to let the thoughts that we think and the meditation of our hearts and everything that we want, amen, to come forth out of our lives, that be based on the word of God. The Bible says you can ask what you will and it shall be given unto you. But we have to apply these principles first and line ourselves up with the word of God, because everything, the Bible says, all things work together for good to them that what? Love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purposes. Amen. So as you line yourself up with the word of God and the will of God for your life, you cannot fail. Amen. God bless you. This is Evangelist Amos. I hope you enjoyed the word of God tonight. I hope you got blessed. If you did, you can email me at manna_teaching@yahoo.com. That's manna_teaching@yahoo.com. Or you can phone me. My phone number is 770-728-2274. Amen. And you can contact me either one of those ways, or you can go on to Blog Talk Radio and leave me a message under Manna Teaching. God bless you. I love you with the love of the Lord, and I'll see you next time. Good night.